Boker Tov, we are continuing today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. We left off at the bottom of the page on daf Nun Amud Bet 50b. Today's class should be for the Refuah Shlema Baal Chaim. ובכללם חם דם רחם חנתן אל מן חם קם רבקה שר בן מנה שלום מסר עד בן מחר יפה בן רבקה בן חבר רבקה בן עשר שלום בן עשר פעם בן עמר שבן חנה יפה בן מרים יבדה בן יפה חיה שר תכן וחד חנה שמחה בן מלכה מרים עד החלוס בן ים חנה לאן בן נעמר חלס בדמה שר בן חנה גם יגיד בה ברכה תן בן עשר שכם רדי יעקוד אמר יעקוד אמר מלכה שבן בן עתר בן יפה יוסף בן רם שבן פנינה יוסף בן יפה דן ים עד עניין פעם בן ים רגלים בן עקש בן זנגו כזו ודן ים בגל בן מרים רבי ישוע בן חם חנה מלכה בן עשר רב שלמה משלמסי מלכם דוד אמריה בן רבקה ולהבדיל לנשמע דוד בן אליהו בנימין בן יצחק ויד בן אפרים שמעון בן ישעיה בן המקום מתן בועז בן אברהם תינה בת אהרון תמר ברכה בת אברהם משה בן רפאל להבדיל לרעיון דברה בת מרים. Okay, at the bottom of the page 50b. Hahu da'ata lekamei de Rav Yosef. There was someone who came in front of Rav Yosef. Amar lahu, he said to him, Havu la mitamrei, meaning there was an orphan girl who came in front of Rav Yosef asking for help, and he told the heirs to Havu la mitamrei de al budya, give her from the dates that are on the mats. Yeah, these dates are on the mats. Essentially, these are metaltilin, these are movable property. So he said, support them from movable property. Amar le, so he said back. Amar le, Abaye said to him, Ilu bal chov hava, ki haigavna mi hava yaiv le. If it was a bal chov who came to the father, if let's say it was a person who was owed money, who came, would we have given him from metaltilin, from movable properties? Obviously not, we wouldn't give from movable properties. So how can you give this the orphan girl from movable properties? So, mor amar le, dechazia lebudya ka'amina. He's saying those that are fit to be put on mats, but are still attached to the trees, meaning they're still considered mechubar lakarka. So they're not considered movable properties, but they are fit to be put on the movable properties. But the Gemara then says, flipping the amud, sof sof, kol ha'omed ligzoz, ki gazuz dame, that anything that is set out to eventually become cut and harvested is as if it is already harvested. So why are we looking at it as if it's attached? It should really be looked at as if it's harvested. So when it says, Ditzricha le dikla ka'amina, he said, I was speaking of dates that are still needed for, that still need the palm tree, meaning they're not fully ripened in order to be brought out into the world, but they are sufficiently ripe, but not completely. So therefore, he was referring to those type of dates. We're on the top of 51a, Nun Aleph. Okay? Then we said, Ha'u yatom v'yatoma. There was these orphans, the atu lekamei de Rava, came in front of Rava. Amar lehu Rava, Rava said to them, He'elu liyatom bishvil yatoma. Give extra to the orphan for his sister. So Amr le Rabbanan, le Rava, Rabbanan say to Rava, Veha morhu de amar mikarka'e, v'lo mimital telei. But you're the one who said that you can only support her from karka, from non-movable properties, and not from movable properties. Bein lemezone, whether it's for support, bein leketubah, whether it's for her ketubah, or bein leparnasah, whether it's for her dowry, doesn't make a difference. So Amar lehu, he responded, Ilu ratza shivcha leshamsho, mi lo yaevinan le. If let's say he wanted a maidservant to serve him, this orphan, would we not give it to him? We would. We have to help him. We have to, you know, give him whatever he needs to serve him. So too over here, kol sheken hacha deikatarte. There's two reasons to give them. Number one, it's his sister. Number two, she can also serve him. So we give extra for the sister in this case because she can serve him technically too. Tana rabbanan, v'tana b'raita. Echad, and this is when the Gemara gets a little bit confusing. Echad nechasim sheyesh lein achrayut. Whether it's property, it's real property, yesh lein achrayut means it has responsibility, but really what it means it's actual real property, or whether it's nechasim property that does not have responsibility, meaning movable property, regardless if it's real property or movable, motzi'in lemazon yishaul banot divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says we can use that to give out to the wife and the daughters. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, Nechasim sheyesh lein achrayut, if they are real property, motzein lebanot min abanim, we can take from the sons to give to the daughters, ulbanot min abanot, or from the daughters to give to the daughters, ulbanim min abanim, or from the sons to give to the sons, ulbanim min abanot, or from the daughters to give to the sons. But that's only benechasim merubin, if there is a lot of property, that's only. Aval, lo lebanim min abanot, but not from the daughters to the sons, benechasim mu'atin, if it is minimal property. Meaning, we explained earlier, nechasim mu'atin is referring to when there's only enough to have property for, you know, enough for less than 12 months. So we said over there, all of it goes to the daughters, and the sons have to go knock on doors to beg. That's what we said. So if it's nechasim mu'atin, then we would not take away from the daughters to give to the sons. Nechasim she'ena in achrayut, but if it is property that is not responsible, meaning it's non-real property, it's movable property, motzi'in abanim in abanim, we take away from the sons to give to the sons, lebanon min abanot, from the daughters to the daughters, ulbanim min abanot, or from the daughters to the sons, aval lo lebanot min abanim, but not from the sons to the daughters. And then we say, afagav dekaimalan, halacha k'rabbi mechavero, even though we generally say the halacha follows the rabbi from his friend, against his friend, halacha, over here, the halacha, k'rabbi Shimon ben Lazar. Over here, the halacha would follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, the amar rava, because the rava says, hilcheta mikarkae velo mimetaltele. The halacha is, you can only give to the orphan from a karka, and not from movable properties. Whether it's for the ketubah, whether it's for support, or whether it's for the dowry. It's interesting, it switches the order over here. Earlier on the amud, it said whether it's for mezonot, for ketubah, or for the dowry. Now it's saying whether it's for ketubah, for mezonot, or the dowry. It switches the first two, I'm not sure why, but this is where we get to the Mishnah. So essentially, we finish off the sugya about the support for the orphans. Now we go to the second part of the daf. Mishnah, lo katav la ketubah. If let's say he did not write for his wife a ketubah, so betula gova matayim, a virgin would get 200 zuz. The almana mane, and a widow would get 100. Mipnei shehu tanai beitin, because that's the condition of the beitin when they get married. Katav la sadeh shave mane. If let's say he wrote for her in the ketubah a field that is worth 100 zuz, tachad matayim instead of the 200 zuz. Velo katav la kol nechasim deitli, and he didn't write that all of my property achrayin leketubatech are now, you know, part of this ketubah to you. Chayav, he is still obligated to give the 200 zuz to the betula, of course. Shehu tanai beitin, because that's the conditioning of the beitin. Lo katavla, and if he didn't write her, tishtavai afar kinach veotivinach li leintu. If he didn't say that, if you become captured, I'll come and ransom you and take you back as my wife. Uva kohenet, and by a wife of a kohen, adrinach lemedinatech, I will return you back to your city, right, or your state, because once once she's the wife of a kohen, if she gets captured, if she was raped even, she's not allowed to come back to the husband because the husband's a kohen. So therefore, she would send him back. If he didn't write, he would send her back home. If he didn't write this in his ketubah, chayav, he is still obligated to do so, shehu tnai beitin. This is also considered a condition of the beitin. Nishbet, if she was taken captive, chayav liftotah, he's obligated to ransom her, to redeem her. V'im amar, and if he said, hare gita uktubata, here is your get and your ketubah, I don't want to ransom her. V'tifde et atzma, he says, go and redeem yourself. And no rashai is not allowed to do that. Right. Laketa, if let's say she became sick, chayav larapota, he's obligated to heal her. Amar, if he comes and says, hare gita uktubata, here is your get and your ketubah, terapet, atma, heal yourself, Rashai, he's allowed to do so. Rashi says, she'en adam chayav lazun gerushato. A person is not obligated to support his divorced wife. Right? In the earlier case, we said, and he's not allowed because he already became obligated in ransoming her. He has to redeem her. Right? By the case of support, a person is not obligated to support his divorced wife, so he'd be allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is the author here? The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir he. Must be following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Amar, anyone who gives less, he's trying to give less to the virgin wife than 200 zuz, and from a widow 100 zuz, that's considered promiscuous sleeping with. Because if you think this Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amar, he says, Ratsa, Kotev lebetula shtar shel matayim. If you want, you can write to the betula a document of 200. Vehi koteven, she writes, he kabalti mimcha mane, that she already received 100 of it. Right? So it's going to be less than a 200. Ul almana, and for a widow, mane, he writes, I'll give you 100. Vehi koteven, and she writes, he kabalti mimcha 50 zuz. She says, I already got 50 zuz from you. Meaning it's only giving you half of it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to do that. You only give half of it. It's not be'ilat znu. So it seems like it's not following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But if we go in Masefa, if we go to the latter part of the Mishnah, Katav la sadeh shave mane. If he wrote for her a field that's worth 100 zuz, tachat 200 zuz, instead of the 200, velo katav la kol nechasim deit li achrayin leketubatech, and he didn't write all of my property, is now achray on this ketubah for you, chayav, he's still obligated to give her the 200 zuz, shehu tanai beitin, because that's the tanai of the beitin. So the Gemara says, Ata'an l'Rabbi Yehuda. This latter part of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. But why? De Amar, he says, Achrayut ta'ut soferhu. He says, there is something called Achrayut, is considered a ta'ut sofer, meaning, if let's say, it was in the Ketubah, it did not write the Achrayut, it didn't write the guarantee of him saying, I'm guaranteeing you all of this property, I'm guaranteeing you all of this. So therefore, it's considered to be assumed for it to be a ta'ut sofer. The scribe who wrote the ketubah probably made a mistake and forgot it. And we're not going to indicate from that such a guarantee was not implied. Right? So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which works over here in the latter part of the Mishnah. Right? De'i Rabbi Meir, because if you follow Rabbi Meir, Ha'amar, he says, Achrayut lav ta'ut soferu. He says that Achrayut, if it wasn't written, it's not a ta'ut sofer. It wasn't written. It's not considered a ta'ut sofer. It was actually left out on purpose. And so therefore, she can't go and collect it. So how do we know this? Ditna, as the Mishnah teaches. It's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, I believe. Matzah shtare chob. Let's say someone found documents of someone's debt, indebtedness. Im yesh bahen achrayut nechasim, if let's say there is a lien on real property in these documents, lo yachzir, so the finder shouldn't return these to the creditor, right? To the creditor. Shebetin nifrain mehen, because the betin is going to come and make a deen to require them to pay anyway. So you don't have to go and return these to the creditor because the betin will be nifrain. In bein achrayut nechasim, but if there is no lien on, real property over here, there is no in these documents they don't find any lien, any actual guarantee on the real property. Yachzir, he's the finder, should return these documents to the creditor. She'ein beitin nifrein mehen, divrei Rabbi Meir, because the beitin will not cause them to pay. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Chachamim amrim, the Chachamim say over here, the Chachamim is referring to Rabbi Yehuda, echad ze ve'echad ze lo yachzir. Whether there is achrayut or not, the finder does not have to return the document. Shebeitin nifrain mehen, because the beitin does go and make them pay. So regardless if there's a guarantee or not, Rabbi Yehuda says that I view it as a ta'ut sofer. Rabbi Meir says, no, I don't view it as a ta'ut sofer. If it wasn't written, the guarantee, if there was no achrayut written in the documents, lien written in the documents, there's no. It's not a ta'ut sofer. That's how it was meant to be. So therefore, it sounds like the latter part of our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. So it doesn't make sense. The first part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. The latter part of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbi Meir, Vezefa Rabbi Yehuda. The beginning part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And the latter part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, V'chi tema kula Rabbi Meir. Maybe we can say the whole Mishnah is really following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'shani le'en Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir distinguishes bein ketubah l'shtare, between a ketubah and regular documents. Right? He agrees that if let's say they don't write a guarantee in the ketubah itself, he agrees that it could be an actual ta'ut sofer. Maybe that's what we can say, and we can make him work, make Rabbi Meir's opinion work, even with the latter part of the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, maybe it's really all Rabbi Meir. Shani Lei Rabbi Meir Ketubah L'Shtarei. The Gemara asks, Umi Shani Lei? Does Rabbi Meir really distinguish between a ketubah and other types of documents? Ve'atanya, we have a Baraita. The Baraita says, Chamisha Govin Min HaMechurarin. There are five people who come and collect money from unsold properties. Not sold properties, even unsold properties. He says, Ve'eluhen, and these are the five. Perot u'shvach perot. If it's, let's say, produce and the improvement of produce, they can come and collect those what they're owed. These are creditors that are owed. So he says, Ve'amekabel alav lazun et ben ishto. Someone who takes upon himself to support the son of his wife. Ubat ishto, or the daughter of his wife. Vegetchov she'en bo achrayut, or let's say a debt document that doesn't have any guarantee written in it. Uktubat isha she'en bo achrayut, or let's say a ketubah of a woman does not have a guarantee in it. All of these five things, a person, the creditor, can come and collect his money. So the Gemara says, man shmatle de amar achrayut lav ta'ut soferhi. Who is the author of this that says that achrayut guarantee is not a ta'ut sofer? If the guarantee wasn't written, we generally said that it's not a ta'ut sofer. Who is that opinion? That was Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says, following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. But still, what do we teach over here? V'katane, we taught ketubat isha. We said in the case of ketubat isha that does not have achrayut, we said in that case, It's not considered like a Taut Sofer. So this is, this is going with the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So it cannot be that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that he says that by a ketubah, really, when there is no guarantee, it really is a Taut Sofer. We clearly just said over here that the ketubah Isha is not considered a mistake by the scribe, and this is following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So you can't say that Rabbi Meir works with our whole Mishnah. Rabbi Meir cannot be the author of our whole Mishnah. Ela. So the Gemara comes and says, how do we explain our Mishnah? Maybe our Mishnah is all Rabbi Meir. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it flips it around again. Perhaps it's Rabbi Yehuda. Hatam katvale hitkabalti. Hacha lo katvale hitkabalti. Over there, we're going to see later on Mishnah on Nun Dalet. Over there, she said, I received the payment. Or she wrote, I received the payment. And so therefore she is showing that she's waiving her return, her payment. So therefore that, she wouldn't be allowed. She waived her option to go and receive full payment. So she let that option go. So therefore she would not be allowed to go and collect that money. But in our Mishnah, where we said, I did not receive the payment yet. So she didn't waive her rights to go and receive her ketubah. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda would agree that she can still go and collect the prescribed amount that was written there. And so the beginning of our Mishnah that we said, if we go back to our Mishnah, we said that if she he writes less than 200, we said it must be going according to Rabbi Meir. The Gemara has explained that no, it could even go and work according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he's talking about a case where he said, I have not yet received it, so she didn't let go of her rights. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to explain our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, my chayav de katani. What does it mean when we said in our Mishnah that he is liable to pay? So in the latter part of the Mishnah that we said cannot work according to Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says, what is that referring to? He says, min ha-mechurarin. That is not referring to sold property, right? It means that she's allowed to collect the full 200 zuz from the unsold property that the husband still holds, right? Let's look at Rashi over here. Here it's in the middle of the page. My chayav nami de katani mina mechurarin. Aval vishe lo katav la achrayut. Even though he did not write for a guarantee in the ketubah, tnai beitin hu liot kol nechasav achrayin la. Says it's a condition of the beitin that all of his property, even though he didn't write it, should be for her. Beodam lefanav, while it's in front of him. Aval im macheram, if he sold those properties, einat torefet lekochot. She cannot go and take it away from the buyers. So even the latter part of the Mishnah, we're not going to say that guarantee that wasn't written. I'm guaranteeing you all these properties. He didn't write that. So we're not going to say that's a mistake by the Sofer. Rather, we're going to say it could even work according to Rabbi Meir. And it's referring to Rabbi Meir saying, how can you go and repay her? He can go and repay her from the properties that are unsold. The properties that are sold, the woman can't go because it wasn't written in the ketubah that she can go and these properties are her, so she can't go and take it away from the buyers if the husband sold it. But if they're unsold properties, they're still in the husband's name, still part of the husband's property, she can go and take from that money her 200 zuz. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Okay, sorry, Machila. 1 minute recap. So we started our daf. We ended a little bit early, but we're gonna, we go a little bit longer on Shabbat. So, but the beginning of the daf, we're finishing off the topic of the support for the orphans. That was part number one until the Mishnah. Part number two was we started this new Mishnah. We were talking about if, let's say, the husband wrote for her less than the amount that's required for her in his ketubah to her. So what is she allowed to take? We had different opinions in our Mishnah. We're trying to understand pretty much the rest of the daf. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Is the author of the Mishnah Rabbi Meir? Is the author of the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda? Or is the author both of them? It's just a difference of who said the first part or the latter part. So we gave different answers how it could possibly be, and this was the second part of the daf, how it can be that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says that if, let's say, the guarantee, he didn't write in the ketubah that I owe you all these properties that I have are set out for you. He didn't write that. We don't assume that's a Taut Sofer according to Rabbi Meir. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, did I mix that up? One second. Yeah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he didn't write the guarantee in the ketubah, it would be a Taut Sofer. So it sounded like at first that the latter part of the Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda. The earlier part of the Mishnah was Rabbi Meir. We understood that no, we can give an answer to show that how our Mishnah can fully be encompassed to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, or can fully follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That was pretty much the whole daf. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.